It happened again this New Year's Day. Did you catch it? Many of our neighbors in colder climates started their year with what is known as the polar bear plunge, jumping into frigid waters in their bathing suits on January 1st. Residents of New York City, for example, have been engaging in this tradition on Coney Island for over 121 years. And maybe you've been keeping up with this, but recently, the practice of taking cold water plunges has grown in popularity as a way to improve mental and physical health. Advocates of the practice report that it helps to regulate blood sugar, boosts the immune system, reduces inflammation, helps with anxiety and depression, helps to manage one's stress response, and on and on and on. And so I wonder, what's the coldest water you've ever plunged into? And what was that experience like for you? I'll tell you, for me as an adult, well, it started as a kid when I took swimming lessons in New Hampshire. That's just ungodly. But as an adult, it happens for me every summer when our family makes the annual pilgrimage to Sarah's family's float house, which is in northern Idaho in early July. Now, the float house, which is exactly what it sounds like, is about 2 hours south of British Columbia. And the water on which it floats in early July is sometimes in the upper 60s. And y'all, every time I jump into that water, especially when the sun starts to set, it's both an amazing and terrible experience. It absolutely takes my breath away, but I'm telling you, my whole body feels very alive. Every time I come up for air after taking that cold plunge, especially the first one, I feel like my vision is sharper than ever before. Coming up out of that water, all the familiar surroundings take on a new look to me. The pine trees, the mountains, the red and green lights that mark the channel of the St. Joe River on the trestle bridge that covers it. It's like I'm seeing it all with new eyes for the first time. And you for sure know, because of the temperature of the water, that you are, in fact, alive. I imagine that when Jesus came up out of that cold water of the River Jordan, that he felt like that too. I mean, imagine this scene. There's all these people coming from different faraway places, even as far as Jerusalem, which is a significant walk. And they're making their way looking for something. Maybe they're looking to hear John's message of baptism for repentance, for the forgiveness of sins. Maybe they're looking for clarity in their life. Maybe they're looking for certainty in the troubled times in which they lived, and they found him by the river, this man they'd heard so much about, the one with very questionable sartorial choices and a very limited diet. Sure enough, he was there. They came to hear this message of repentance, to wade into the cold running waters of the Jordan, where John would lift them up in its near weightless state and baptizing them. The experience was so powerful, people even confessed their sins aloud. The Holy Spirit was there. And though they came looking for John, John always pointed them to his cousin, Jesus, saying, he's the one, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit was there. And then one day, John's cousin, Jesus himself, made the journey from Nazareth and the Galilee and placed himself in the line with those whom John would baptize. I imagine the look on his face when he saw his cousin, the one he'd been pointing others to. Maybe he thought his job was done now. Surely he wondered, though, what was Jesus doing standing in line to be baptized? We still wonder about that choice now, don't we? Isn't it something that the one whom we claim to be sinless chooses to stand in line with us sinners? It's as if Jesus is setting this precedent for the rest of his ministry, that the kingdom of God, Jesus himself, wants to be with us, wants to stand with us. I'm sure John protested to Jesus that he wasn't worthy to baptize him. And yet, because of Jesus' deep desire to be present with people, he insisted. And so John, his cousin, whom he knew before birth from the scripture we read just last month, baptized Jesus. And the Holy Spirit was there. Because just as Jesus comes up out of that cold water, lungs desperate for air, he sees the heavens. They're torn apart. The Spirit descends on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven says, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Imagine the heavens torn apart, the Spirit hovering over the waters, God breaking into the world through Jesus. And beloved, the good news is that God breaks into our lives with grace every single day, claiming us, calling each and every single one of us on earth God's beloved. You see, the Holy Spirit is here. And God's been doing this since the very beginning. It didn't just start with Jesus. It started at the very beginning of God's creation. One of the other scriptures for today is Genesis 1, 1 through 5. We remember how God's Spirit brooded like a bird above the watery abyss at the beginning of creation. God first broke into creation that God had made and proclaimed, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God called the light good. God was pleased with the light. Just as God was pleased with Jesus, and I came here to tell you this morning, just as when God looks at you, God is pleased with what God has made. Now, maybe Jesus, when he came up out of that cold water and heard the words of the Creator of the universe spoken over him, maybe he too felt like he could see clearly things now. For the Holy Spirit was there, hovering over the waters, just as the Spirit brooded like a bird over the waters of creation. Isn't it something how important water appears to be to the Holy Spirit? It's almost as if the Spirit wants to remind us that God is present in everything, just as water is present in our lives. The sacrament of baptism tells us that water can, in fact, be a carrier for the Holy Spirit, which means that water is a reminder that God claims us. Now, I don't know about you, but I like that a lot, because water is all around us. It's even inside of us. And through it, God gives us these little glimpses and hints of God's love and presence with and for us in our daily lives. It's even a cosmic thing. As the American mystic and naturalist John Muir said, "When we contemplate the whole globe as one great dewdrop, striped and dotted with continents and islands, flying through space with other stars, all singing and shining together as one, the whole universe appears as an infinite storm of beauty. From the drops and the beads of water that form on a glass on a hot summer day, to the snow-capped mountains, to the water we cook with and bathe in and drink when we're thirsty, to the water in the rivers and the lakes where we relax and recharge, all the way to the mighty water in the churning oceans. God is trying to remind us through the Holy Spirit that we are chosen already, that God made you, that God claims you as God's beloved, and that God is both within and around us, and that the very water of the earth itself is in constant vibration with the Holy Spirit. Can we see how good God is to us? How much God loves us? How much God loves what God has made and called good, and that God rejoices in you and in me, in the things that we know and in the things that we don't know. God is so amazing that even something as simple as the act of washing our hands, we are invited to remember that God made us and that God loves us. When we take a sip of water at a restaurant, we are invited to remember that the exact same God that made the shining and singing stars made us. and that God claims us and calls us beloved. That's why we make such a big deal out of renewing our baptismal vows, about remembering our baptism, even if we are baptized in infants and others tell us about it. And even if we don't have that, the church tells us about it, because it's so easy in everyday life to forget that we are God's beloved people. Baptism is the most radical thing that can happen to anyone who follows God. It's that important. And like I said earlier, if you haven't been baptized, let's talk. We want to make that journey with you because God is ready to meet you in those waters. I might even be willing to baptize you today. We remember our baptism, friends, not just for the moment, but because this is something that's bigger than even a one-time ritual on a Sunday morning. Baptism is to be our way of life. At the height of the Reformation, when Martin Luther was on the run from the authorities and he was suffering persecution, he would wake up every single morning, and the first thing he would do, he would find water, and he would make the sign of the cross on his forehead to remind him that in the storm of his life, that no matter what happened to him that day, he was a beloved child of God. That morning ritual kept him alive and helped him to remember daily who he was. Our baptismal life is so vital that you see containers in many churches for you to dip your hand into water when you come into the church and make the sign of the cross. It's why some churches have baptistries in their sanctuaries. It's why many ancient cathedrals have these ornate baptistries right to the side that are more beautiful than the sanctuaries themselves. It's why I insist, much to the chagrin of many people, that that baptismal font is right there in the very center, reminding us of who we are every time we come into this room. How our journey starts at the font, it's sustained at the table, and always in the shadow of the cross. As one scholar said, living our life from a baptismal perspective allows us to look for the descending doves of the Spirit in our everyday world. And it allows us to claim and embrace the possibilities in front of us instead of the doubts within us. Living as baptismal people helps us to remember again that we are loved, that we are claimed, that we are beloved by God, and that whatever darkness is in you no longer defines you. Living baptismally reminds us that we belong to this wonderfully huge cosmic family that transcends the human boundaries of blood and time, and that is a good and glorious thing. Beloved, the Holy Spirit is here. Isn't it something what God can do with, in, through, and for us through the simple gift of water? May you remember your baptism this day and forevermore. And if you are not yet baptized, perhaps it's time to take the plunge. Let all of God's people say, Amen.